So, okay, it is March 10th, 2006, and we are doing an interview with Dr. Cyril Byrne. Dr. Byrne, if you could state your date and place of birth and your full name.
Well, I was born Cyril Joseph Byrne, at least baptized that after I was born, on the 6th of August, 1940. And I was born in Corner Brook, Newfoundland. My father and his people had been on the west coast of Newfoundland for a while. In fact, his mother was a Guju, and the Gujus had been there for ancient times. My mother, on her side, she was a Wade from the east coast of Newfoundland, Conception Bay, a place called Kitjuzes, which nobody seems to be able to recognize. Even then, even in the 40s, if I said I'm going to Kitjuzes, you'd say, where is that? You know? But it was a place that the Wades had settled for at least at that time 200 years. I don't think much more. I think they just moved down from the settlement and picked up territory there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the background of two big families.
Could you spell that name Guju?
G-U-S-H-U-E.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, that one, there are Gujus, but her name was not Guju. Her family name was, I have to take that out. There were Gujus mixed into the group, but her name was Buckle. Mm-hmm. Buckles. And the same thing is true about the Buckles. They had been a long time on the coast. The first of them came there around the end of the 18th century, and where they were was on the southern Labrador. And they came down to the west coast of Newfoundland the turn of the century, 1900 roughly. So that was the mistake I made, because I was so pleased with that the Gujus were roughly connected as the man who just won the gold medal.
Right. I know a lot of your education was done in the UK and Ireland and in Oxford. Could you maybe talk a little bit about how you ended up going over there?
Well, my first university was St. Dunstan's in PEI, which was great, marvelous. I really enjoyed it, and I still have good contacts with people from there. Ken McKenna, who taught here for about roughly the same period with me as I, was one of the people who was there. When I finished that, I went to Dublin and UCD, University College Dublin. I was there 2 years and got my MA from there, and that was an incredibly good experience. In fact, I've met a couple of people here recently, one of whom is Jim O'Brien, a doctor here. And I didn't know him until I came here, but we talked back and forth about the experiences we had, because he was ahead of me in terms of time. Mm-hmm. But we were there, all sorts of things that happened, and it's just, it's real fun to have him talking about the experience there. UCD now is not where it was. It was UCD at the time was right in the kind of, I guess, the center of Dublin, not far from the river, mm-hmm. Or from Trinity College, which was where he went. Ireland was a very, very different place than it is now. It was the whole country was not as rich money-wise. Now it's got more money than we have, but it was a great experience. And I did Anglo-Saxon. There was one of the chief things that I did, and one of my it was Father Dunning, who taught that. But there were some very, very fine instructors there, and I had an experience there that was really quite interesting. When I came in, I'd never touched Anglo-Saxon, and the first day in class, actually, we were given, these people who were in my class had done Anglo-Saxon, I think, for 2 years. They'd done two courses in it. I hadn't done anything. And I was scared, because it is a, you know, it's a tough-looking language. So we were given a piece from the beginning of Bede, and said, work on that for the weekend. So I took a dictionary and a grammar and paper, and I spent the whole weekend, just all the time, hanging on this thing to see if I could get it roughly. And I bought that very, very rough translation. Anyway, on Monday when I went to class, Dunning sort of went around and said, who would give us a, Mr. Brown, we'll leave you aside because you've just come in. I said, well, I've got it. Oh, well, we'll go ahead, you see. So I went ahead, and he had gone around a number of people afterwards and asked him, and they didn't do it, they didn't work on the weekend. So I had done this, and he said, oh, that's marvelous, that's absolutely marvelous, to get this thing roughly, very roughly done. And a friend of mine, some years later, was in that class and said Dunning would come in and people would be complaining that it was too tough a thing to give him. He said, I had a Canadian in here, and in one weekend, the man had learned Anglo-Saxon perfectly. But you know, Dublin was a great experience, always. Everything we did was fun. When I left there, I came back to Canada, and I taught at Mount St. Vincent. I was asked, I taught in a school in Newfoundland, and after that school days were over, before it actually, I had a letter from one of the sisters out there, because they were having some difficulty getting someone to teach a group of MAs whom they had, who were coming up from Boston, from college they had down there, and they wanted someone to teach Chaucer. That was another thing that I had done when I was in Ireland. So I said, yes, I wouldn't mind doing summer school. So I went to do the summer school there, and I taught the summer school. And then as I was doing it, they offered me a year, you know, there. And I took the year. I liked Halifax. Hadn't been here really for, I'd been here, but not for any length of time. And when I finished, as I was finishing there, an old professor of mine from St. Dunstan's was looking for someone to go over there for the next year. So I went over there and had a great year over there as well. And in that year, I won a scholarship to Oxford. So I went to Oxford for another 2 years. And when I was finishing that year there, I thought I'd really like to go to University College in Canada. And I went to UCB, and I did my PhD at the University in Toronto, University of Toronto. And when I was finishing there, I had an offer of a job there. I wasn't sure how it would end up. I had worked actually during the summers with CBC as an announcer, and that was great, a lot of fun. But I didn't really see it as a place that I'd like to be, although a very good friend of mine ended up having a great job there at the CBC. But and I really wanted to come east. In fact, to tell the truth, my preference would have been for Newfoundland, but there wasn't anything going. And I thought, well, if I get something in Halifax, that would be just as good. So I applied for a job here, there were, I think, three of us who were applied that year in 1970, and came here. I didn't actually finish off my thesis for my degree until 1975, but it was great to be here at the university, because it was just beginning to to become a more secular, I guess, university than it had been all along. It had been a Catholic institution for years, which would have been fine for me. I'm basically a very firm Catholic myself, but I'm also a secularist. And that was a great thing. It was moving out and opening up, so I've been here from 1970 till the date we're in now. Mm-hmm. I have finished off in August of last year, 1905 or 2005, and it was a great period. I mean, one of my big interests was Irish studies, and the older English, Anglo-Saxon, Middle English, especially Chaucer and the literature that surrounded him. And I loved Shakespeare as well. In fact, when I was in Oxford, I didn't do much more than, I didn't pass much more beyond, in terms of time, than 17th century. I did some 18th century stuff, but it was basically that early period that we did over the 2 years, and it was great. You know, mm-hmm. I was interested in that. But there are people here who were interested as well in teaching it. And over the period of the years, I taught a lot of the introductory courses in English. I remember one year, I'm not quite sure what year it was, but we had a really bad storm. Class, I think, started at 8:30, if I'm correct. Yeah, it was 8:30, and I didn't live too far from here, so I came down in this storm, and there were five or six people there, and I said, well, you know, they came out of the residence here, this, yeah, so we may as well do it. So we did the class, and I said, by the way, where did you, what, you know, did you see anybody else coming here from away, from outside? I said, we're from outside. I said, you are? Nobody came from inside the university. These five or six people were from the Dartmouth side, and they'd struggled their way to get over here. It was quite funny. Yeah, but that was in the early part of the years. And Ken McKinnon and myself were quite interested in the whole of the culture of the Atlantic area. Newfoundland, PEI, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and we struggled actually for a couple of years to try to get people. People didn't seem to be interested in doing anything in this area. It's hard to believe, but it's true. And we finally, got the Atlantic Canada Studies program going. And the funniest thing in that, I guess, was that. I had to face a committee in the university about that, so that they would, were they going to approve it or not approve it. And one of the people, whose name I won't mention, said, well, one of the courses we were offering, which was a science course, was nonsense. He said, where did you get this? It was almost as if he was accusing me of lying about this course. So I said, well, the man who has set it up for us, I can get him. He said, well, get him down. Now, it was about 4:35 on a Friday. Now, how many people are here at that time? And the man whose name I can't remember now, but it was a Spanish name, mm-hmm. And he had done this for us. And I went outside and said, my God, you know, I'm not going to be able to get him. My phone, he was in his office. He was in his office. I said, can you come down and meet a meeting and tell them? And he came down, of course, and just cut down all of the opposition. And we went through. And for the first couple of years, I was chairman of that. And then after that, I thought, well, where I really want to get and where I really need to move is into Irish studies. It was my favorite area. It was an area that tied in with the literature of a lot of the area as well, I thought, well, maybe we'll be able to raise enough money to get something going here, and I started at that, and The government at that time was offering these amounts of money for the setting up of chairs, we tried to get the money here, and of course we were at that stage. There were two other universities which were offering something like what we were going to offer in Irish studies, so we had. It was a tough place because of the fact that Ottawa was looking at an Irish studies, but they didn't. They called it Celtic Studies, I think was the name they had on. And St. Avex had something like Scottish Gaelic as their thing. So I put this, well, because St. Mary's itself, of course, was very heavily an Irish place and was what I wanted anyway. So went after Irish studies. Of course, you had to get in and try to find the politicians who would help you out to get the money. And Jerry Regan, who had been the Prime Minister here, or Premier of the province, he and his aide became very, very helpful. He was at one point, he was head of the department where the money came from, and he promised that we would get it. It was $300,000, and nobody had gotten $300,000 at that time. And what we pushed for was that, because I think in terms of our application, we were, I think we're about five or six down from the top, and people here were saying, you're never going to be able to make over that, you know, they'll give these ones first. But Jerry was able to push us up to the top. But there are lots of people, you know, the way the politics will work. He got, just as soon as that was done, he was shifted out of that department into something else. But he was very, very strong in the relationship he had with the man who was now head of the place. And he got a promise from him that we would get the chair. Hmm. We had a man who came down here. There were things you had to have, like for instance, the university library. They wanted to have a look and see what was in the university library that would back it up. Well, we had very little, but I arranged to come down and I got books down here and shoved them inside. The man who was doing the business, he was a French Canadian, and I spoke French and we talked French. And he was, his English was probably not as good as my French might have been at the time. But we had a great session when he was here, and he went back and he recommended us that we had a good library for this thing. In fact, we didn't. I mean, there's a fair bit of some people may call it lies that were being passed back and forth. But so at that stage, you know, things were looking good for us. But we needed to get if they gave us 300, then we had to base it with 300,000. And at that time, I talked to the president about it, and the president was very, very kind on it. But we had no $300,000 laid, you know, at the time. So
sorry, that interruption there.
No.
Go ahead.
But at the time, he had gone down, I think it was the spring break, and he and his wife had gone down somewhere, and he wasn't on the campus anyway. Mm-hmm. And the AVP at the time was very, very unwilling to make any decisions on money. Mm-hmm. And so I needed to get this decision done right now. You know, no, otherwise we would be shipped out and that would be the end of it. So I said, look, phone him up, phone the man. Oh, he said, phone him. So he got on the phone with me. He said, of course. We're going to put $300,000 in it, you know. So that was it. And in the fall of that year, we were granted the chair. And this is the 20th year of the chair, and 20 is an important date in Irish. Fiach bliain a fós, 20 years of growing, rather than 25. So this is a great. Year.
I had no idea.
For us, yeah. Fiach bliain a fós. So that was, and from that point on, of course, we had 600,000. And as you probably know yourself, 600,000 is not enough because you're living on the interest from that. And mm-hmm. what is that going to produce in terms of hiring someone, you know? Not much. So the university, of course, has been very, very helpful. They were able to put, but I went to the president at the time and I said, look, we're going to have to start raising money for this chair. So we started. And we had great luck. I can't imagine more luck in terms of raising money. I had never raised anything except begging money from my parents at some stage, and I had no knowledge about raising money like this. So one of the people here eventually who came into the thing was Don Kelleher, and Don was a marvelous guy. He ran that department which dealt with the finance, you know, gathering finances. And he worked with me and other people, but just basically the two of us put these things together. And the president as well was very helpful, you know. But we had a dinner, we had two dinners for raising money. I'll give you an idea of how this stuff worked. The first one was run by the president of the Bank Montreal, because we had already gotten from him before he became the president of the thing. He was Irish, and we said, you know, we'd like you to put some money in it. And O'Hara was a, I think the man's name is O'Hara. He was actually, he had been the secretary to the Prime Minister of Canada at the time. Mm-hmm. And he was a great, he had good contacts with St. Mary's, and he had actually been he graduated from some part of St. Mary's in any case. And he was a lovely, and he's still living, and we've maintained a large position. And, you know, I've in fact talked to Monique last month and about a new fundraising thing I'm trying to get moving. But at the time, we went up to the bank and they said they would have a dinner for us, and he organized it. And each person at the dinner was going to pay $1,000. And at that dinner, we raised $92,000.
Oh my God.
$92,000. And a very dear friend and a relative of mine was married to a guy who was the chief, I suppose, man in Newfoundland with money, Dobbin, and Dobbin was a great friend of ours, and we talked to both of them. She said, "You're gonna set up a dinner for them. They were gonna rival the Bank of Montreal in Toronto, and they had a dinner in St. John's at his house. I forget now exactly when the date was. Probably 92, 93, anyway, we set the dinner up, and they set it up down there. We didn't have to, but we're just making contacts back and forth of how this would be done. And again, it was $1,000 place to come to this dinner. Well, it was an incredible dinner. I mean, Newfoundland is Newfoundland. I'm a Newfoundlander. I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. But when it was all over, we had $72,000 from that one. So those are the two large things that got money to us. But there were people who gave money to us, organizations, individuals. There's a lady, I think she's still living. She was 100 years old. And again, I can't remember the name, but she came here. Actually, I had led a group to Ireland about 86. Very dear friend of mine, Dick Walsh, there, and I wanted to bring Newfoundlanders. He had been over from Ireland to Newfoundland and found the place just so Irish, so much like Ireland, that, you know, he fell in love with the place as much as I had fallen in love with Ireland, and we were great friends. So we said, we'll bring people over. So we had a a group of about 50 people from the Atlantic region. They weren't all from Newfoundland. There were people from here, a couple of people from New Brunswick. And we went over. It was an incredible trip for those people. They never enjoyed it, and they organized so much beautiful stuff over there. They did a tour of the rivers that run down to Waterford. We had a special mass in the cathedral there because that was the 200th anniversary of the first bishop of Newfoundland. Who had done an edition of his work and the work of two other bishops that had followed him there. So there was a good connection with them. And the bishop was a marvelous man, a very, very lovely person. In fact, one of the things that happened at that, which if you told Catholics, they probably wouldn't necessarily believe it, but we had only one Protestant who was in the group, and they had this mass and everybody's going to communion. And there was a little gathering before mass was to start. And she was talking to the bishop and they were having a great conversation. And she said, I will be at mass. She said, but I'm not Catholic and I won't be able to go. He said, you won't? He said, will you come to me? He says, and I'll give you communion. And she told that story to people back, she was Nova Scotian, that she had been given communion.
Wow.
by the bishop at the time, which was very, very, very unusual, I think. But it was a great period that we had during that trip in Ireland. And there was a woman who came to us. She wasn't part of the thing, but she asked me one day. She said, "Can I come to some of these things?" I said, "Of course." You know, I said, "Come along." And I said, "Where are you staying?" She was staying in one hotel. I said, "Well, just come down to our gathering group and be part of it." She was from Ontario, and I think it was her and her sister. Anyway, that became an incredible source of money for us, because when I was leaving. We're coming back here. She gave me a check for $5,000 for the chair.
Oh, wow.
And I was just, you know, bang. And from that time on, every anniversary, we'd get a check for $2,000 or $3,000 or $1,000, whatever it was. Hmm. And I think overall, she probably gave us something like $40,000 or $50,000. And that was, again, you know, what great luck that was in part of putting this thing together. So we had lots of, you know, things until finally Don phoned me one morning. I can't remember what year it was. Don Kelleher. He said, "Cyril, I just got some back." He said, "We've got $1 million.
Wow.
We've got $1 million. Everything had added up to $1 million at that point.
My God.
Yeah. And it was just unbelievable. We went out that evening. I had a little drink, celebrated. But we had great things happen to the chair that probably wouldn't happen to any place else in Canada. One of the things that we had was when the chair was opening up. Dick Walsh, a friend of mine, mentioned, Dick taught at UCD, mm-hmm. and he taught in the language. He had done a great deal of work on the Irish language in the southeast, where language had, well, almost died out as a generally spoken language. And I had marvelous stories told by him to me. Over the years about his collection of that material back in the 40s and 50s when he was a young student. He was older than I am. Mm-hmm. A marvelous guy, and he was able to do these things, you know. And he was a great friend of the Prime Minister of Ireland. They were friends from way, way back. And I had said to him when I was over there, I said, "Look," I said, "do you think we could get him to have an honorary degree from St. Mary's for the opening of the chair. It'd be a marvelous thing. He said, well, I'd phone him up. So he phoned him up, and he invited us down to his office. So we went down to his office. He had a marvelous morning with him. Dick and he were great, great friends. And he said, when are you going to do this? So we gave him the date. He says, oh yeah, we'd work that out. And so he became the first Irish Prime Minister to get a degree in Canada, I think. It may have been, to my mind, I can't recall one, but Fitzgerald became the first, and he and his wife came here, and he in fact ended up going back to Ireland. And Ireland, of course, they weren't a rich economy at that time, but he sent us $25,000, you know. And that was the sort of thing that was going on constantly. You know, you'd get money. In fact, that business of giving degrees to prime ministers of Ireland didn't really end here until, I don't think it's even ended, but last one we had was the first woman president of Ireland. She came here after she had left the presidential, but she'd become a very important diplomat at the UN, and that was only, what, 3 or 4 years ago.
It was during the 200th anniversary, I believe.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she came here. And so, I mean, we've had these kinds of things that are marvelous to be able to cite to people, you know. And in the meantime, we also didn't have a huge amount of money. You know, if you look at even say 1,300,000, and you're looking at the interest that generates a year, we had hired a marvelous teacher to come in.